Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Amanda Nduka.
And I'm Dina Ray Ramos.
And Dina, tell them who we have this week.
This week we have actress, filmmaker, you know, producer. She does everything. Up-and-comer Charmaine Bingwa. She recently received the Heath Ledger Scholarship.
Yeah, she's a first-generation Australian. Her parents moved here from Zimbabwe. Yeah. So she grew up in Australia. She recently moved to L.A., to further her talent.
And she's like making waves.
Yeah, she is. And she's a super, super sweet person. She has a web series. It's called Little Sister. The trailer's online right now. You should check it out. It's pretty funny, actually. The premise is pretty funny. She'll give it to you in a little bit during the podcast. But it's a pretty it's a pretty funny premise. And she's a guitar player.
I know. She played for Demi Lovato,
Demi Lovato. I think she performed with Fifth Harmony.
Okay.
So Dina and her bonded over their guitaring skills.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, she's probably way, but she learned. Okay. No. We'll just wait until you listen to the episode. Yeah.
Maybe y'all should play. We should have had you guys both play.
Oh, I should have bought my guitar, and we should have done a duet.
And she learned on electric, and that's not common.
I guess not. Yeah. It was shocking to me.
But anyways, So without further ado, here is Charmaine. Welcome, Charmaine. Okay. Yes. The New Hollywood Podcast. Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, we always like to start with kind of our guest origin story, I guess you would say. What was it like for you growing up and, you know, I guess your parents immigrated to Australia, correct?
Totally. Yeah, correct. So your parents are from Zimbabwe.
Totally.
Yeah, tell us about that and growing up in that.
And their expectations as immigrant parents.
You already know the answer to this one, don't you? You guys are like,
We always wonder because it might be different in, you know, different countries than it is, but probably not.
Tell me your growing up trauma and the battle to find your identity.
I think there's different nuances with if it's an immigrant to the UK or immigrant to the States or immigrant to Australia. And I think you're the first guest. I think you are the first Australian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of us over here.
Kayla Settle.
She's not Australian.
Yeah. Polynesian, I think.
I'm happy to be a first.
Cool.
But yeah, my parents emigrated to Western Australia, I think it was a good solid 35 years ago or something, but you know, both of my brothers were born in Zimbabwe and then they came over to Australia and then they had me.
So you are the only one.
Wow. It's a bit of cross-cultural conflict within the household. I remember those times I'd go to school and come back home and be like, well, the white kids said this to their parents. My parents are like, what? And I was like, I am in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, right.
They did not warn me about the consequences of this. It was a very kind of unique experience growing up. And, you know, I remember being in my high school and being the only, if not one of a couple of black kids in school. So it was just a very different way to grow up. Mm-hmm. It's no wonder I love storytelling now because I've got a few.
So what about the expectations? Were your parents, because you had your brothers that grew up there, but then was it something, you know, the whole you have to go into this field or
the typical doctor, engineer, lawyer.
Yes, absolutely.
Or accountant or something.
And it didn't help that both my brothers, one brother went, he was last role was the COO of Deutsche Bank Singapore. My other brother is the head of Channel 9 Perth. So I think I want to give up my six-figure job and be an actor. I played guitar first. I'm a musician first, and I got accepted into a really prestigious institute over there called the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts for guitar. And I remember being really excited and telling my parents, I'm like, I'm going to go to this guitar school. And they're like, you are not going to go play guitar. Right? So there is no such degree. I don't care what you say. And they're like, look, it was my choice and I ended up not doing that. But yeah, there was definite expectations around, you know, especially when somebody's moved their entire life so their children can have a better life. And I get that and I respect that. But I'm really grateful for, I had to fight a little bit harder to be able to do what I want to do and live my dreams. And that's kind of really freaking handy for landing in LA. When you got that tenacity, people say no, I'm like, I've heard that before.
Definitely.
You regret it later, but I've heard that before.
Yeah, and then you have that retrospect, now I realize why my parents were the way they are.
Yeah,
but you know,
totally.
We're trash when we're teenagers.
Same.
Exactly.
Guilty.
Exactly.
And they moved here with like $500 and stuff. Yeah. So I get it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, same thing, the story, same story. So when you did want to get into this industry, like what was kind of their reaction?
Well, it was a surprise, and I kind of came to it a little bit later. Like, uh-huh. I played guitar since I was 12, so I'd always been a professional musician first, you know, which I'd always kind of countered with working other jobs. But it was actually when I went to study my Bachelor of Music that I took acting as an elective, and just something just... like clicked, switched in my brain, and I was like, oh, I know who I am and I know what I'm meant to do now. Yeah. And so coming at it like a little bit older, I think they were just a little more concerned.
Yeah.
Like, why would you give up this settled life that you have to go and pursue this? But yeah, I think if you know something, you just know.
Yeah.
And no one can tell you anything that will sway you from it, because you just know what you're meant to do. So.
Yeah. And you've spoken really openly about being an open queer person. And being a queer person and being a woman of color, what kind of struggles or setbacks did you experience early on? And what sort of things do you still kind of have to deal with now?
Yeah, well, it's always been interesting. Like, I mean, like, you know, people talk about diversity. I'm really going for diverse here.
We're
not going for, you know, no one intends to. It's part of who I am.
Yeah.
But it's different. It's very interesting to try and find your place, to find your people. You know, even just like my family, like they're so great. But initially, it's hard because I don't think, you know, families of color are used to people coming out and being vocal about it. But I'm so glad that we live in the time that we are, and you know, I'm so honored to win the Heath Ledger Scholarship and be the first person of color and the first person who's openly gay, because I don't think that was always accessible, and I love the message that it's sending out there.
Yeah, no,
you know,
I just kind of wanted to get your story, because we talked about a little bit about we talked a little bit about like being part of a, you know, people of color, and not, you know, our story of coming out is not as, it might not be as easy as it's been for other people. So for you, especially being a first generation in this country, like how were you able to I guess navigate that?
I mean, look, I just think you just have to be very certain of who you are, because it's not easy, and
because there's still a stigma. I mean, tell me right now, in Africa there's still a stigma
totally
about it, so
and it's not only just being a queer person, but a queer woman of color.
You
know, there's so many it's like a triple shot.
Layers. Exactly.
Yeah. Triple minority.
Basically. But it's like, you know, it was very difficult to navigate coming up, and you know, it's so, your tribe is so important. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it's been brilliant being based in Los Angeles now, because I feel like there is, like, it's such an eclectic town and it's so amazing to find people who are like you. And I think also, like, but the industry is changing, and I feel like right now I'm like really being like welcomed with open arms, because I think people just have this passion for telling diverse stories and for seeing something different, and they don't always have the people that can do it. So it's, I just think I'm very fortunate that I am at this time of history, you know, but not, certainly not easy. And, you know, all I just try to do is just be as authentic as possible. It's just one of my values. And then, you know, just be a good example for other people. So.
Yeah. And going off of that, it's like, you kind of touched on it already. It's kind of being, you know, a queer woman of color, or, and is there a, I don't want to say, is there a different treatment in the States versus Australia? Like, how is it different? Like, I would imagine it would be that different.
But I think different on different layers. So I think in terms of race, like, Australia is probably a lot more multicultural and progressive. So it's been different, the racial part of me. You know, in terms of being an LGBTI person, it's like America's probably more progressive. You guys had gay marriage legalized before we did. So I think different parts are ahead of each other. And I just think it's fortunate that I'm in this industry, because I think Hollywood's a pretty progressive industry as well. But it's certainly different. And then it's an amazing to, you know, the way that Hollywood is embracing people of color on screen is incredible. And I don't think Australia's there yet. So it's like a sliding scale of how good everyone's doing on each point.
Yeah. Do you go back to Australia? How often do you go back?
Well, I haven't been back since I've been over here, which is like,
she just moved here.
January. So,
okay, so you're fresh.
It's really fresh. So I feel like it's a bit early to kind of, you know, even my family's like, you coming back for Christmas?
Right.
I'm like, how long have I got to RSVP? There's just a few things going on
I've
here.
I've never been. Have you been to Australia?
No, I haven't.
It's a long way. I don't blame you.
I mean, I want to go. I just fear that flight, though.
I think you'll like it when you get there. But it's
It's a journey to get
15 hours or something crazy.
That's like Dubai, though. Like, Dubai's like 16 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch
how many movies?
You watch
like
a lot of movies. You take
exactly.
naps,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of like the long. Nice.
So, like, when did you first know you wanted to be a performer? Was there a certain?
You said you took your acting class.
Yeah, you know? Like, I think I was probably, look, as a child, I was very, like, very much an observer, but kind of theatrical as well. Mm-hmm. So, and then as soon as I picked up the guitar, which was around 12, that was when it sort of, like, the seed was planted.
Do you know, what was the first song you learned to play on the guitar?
Oh, man, hang on. Like, it's right there. It's like it was yesterday, but it was like, I don't know, some random standard, like Michael Rowe the Boat or something like that. Or like, you know.
Was there like what about your first like pop song?
I think it was the Cranberries' Zombie.
That was
when I was coming up, right? Couldn't really thrash out.
Is
that
it just
one.
Acoustic or did you do electric as well?
I learned on an electric actually. And
you
then
learned
I had
on electric?
I did, controversial. Okay. And then I had an acoustic too.
I play guitar, but I only know like 5 chords.
Nice. Oh. Well, tell me one of the songs that. Yeah. Do you have one that you roll out if people come over?
Oh my god! it's a country song.
Oh nice!
Yeah, it's like a Tim McGraw.
Okay. Nice.
It's Your Love, the one she did with Faith Hill.
Oh,
and then I learned like More Than Words. Everyone
but effective.
Yeah.
Date night.
You don't
just
play
pull that
instrument,
out.
Instrument, Amanda?
No,
like
no, no.
A flute. A
I did piano lessons for 2 weeks and then we stopped.
You're like solid. No.
And you played with like Demi Lovato and like.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, like, pretty amazing. Like? Yeah. And like, you know, even on the acting side of things, like it's pretty amazing to play with people of that caliber and to be like playing stadium size venues. Like it's really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, which I went and saw yesterday and I came home and picked up my guitar.
And you were like, all shallow, here we come.
Basically.
And like, who were some of your performers who were influenced?
Musically, I love people who are like out there on the cusp. Like I love like Grace Jones and stuff like that.
Yes.
I was actually a real like it's hard to tell now, but a real like rock and roll girl growing up.
Nice.
So
did
I really
you dress
loved...
the part too?
I did. Oh. Yeah. I actually had a friend from primary school who came out and visited me the other day, and we were in a band together. And I was like, "Do you remember? I was obsessed with this like." God awful purple lipstick and like these blue army pants, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I remember that." So
it would go well over today though.
Well, maybe I'm still trying to hide those photos, making sure no one ever sees them. But and then you know, from an acting standpoint, I just love people who are just unapologetic and authentic. So I love people like Viola Davis. I think she's just like. Dramatic excellence.
Yeah.
Jeff Daniels. I'm obsessed with Michael Shannon at the moment. Well, I've been obsessed with him for a while.
Yeah,
Denzel.
For real, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I just love the contrast in him. He's so like masculine, but he's like so sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
And didn't you play Viola's character on stage?
I did get to,
the stage version of Doubt.
I did.
Oh, that's a meaty scene.
Right, yeah. I remember after I got the role, I was like, okay, so how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And then it's a beautiful, amazing piece of work to work on. John Patrick Shanley's incredible. And I mean, for a month, I just got to give a performance that's written for you to bring it home. So
yeah.
I was one of my favorite acting
that
moments.
Scene, that's like, honestly, that's like the only scene I really remember.
Right,
From Doubt.
Yeah. Right, and it's just sets you up for success because it's just so emotional and I'm still one of my favorites.
I've never seen the stage version, but is it true in the stage where they never show kids?
Yes, they never show the kids, which I think is kind of cool. It'd be you know.
Because in the movie, they obviously, like, I think they have to show the kids in the movie, but
to bring like to expand the world out a bit. Yeah,
oh,
totally.
That's interesting. So how do they do it without showing the kids?
That's what makes it so good, I think.
Yeah. And you know, you're always talking about what's not there.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So
amazing.
Talk about, I saw the trailer for Little Sister.
Yes. So going from deeply dramatic to hilarious stupidness.
Yeah. No, it kind of reminded me of a little bit of chewing gum. I don't know why. Yeah. I was like, this is, and I love chewing gum.
Yeah.
Tell us about it, because you wrote and directed and produced and starred
in
it.
I did. Yeah. I always knew I wanted to create my own work. Like I've, you know, at school I was very into English and all that type of thing. And then I just didn't know what to write. And I remember one time just being at brunch with one of my friends, and I was like, oh, you know, because that time that I was a mentor in the Big Brother Big Sister program, and he was like, wait, what? Like, it was like this whole other side of me he had never seen before, and was like, I just loved the reaction that he had was just like so funny. I was like, okay, maybe there's something in this. And then Based on that concept, I went home and wrote, and I think I wrote it within about a week, and felt very organic, and you know, and it was quite fun to shoot, and I incorporated some random stories. We should tell my real life.
So what's like? Let's just for people who don't know. What's the premise of the show?
Okay, so the premise is there is a really irresponsible character who just has not grown up her whole life, and she gets partnered with this girl to mentor her as part of her community service, and you know, the irony is that the little girl ends up teaching her more about life, love, and responsibility than the actual mentor does. And then, and this was something I did intentionally, is just the lead character just happens to be gay. Because, like, I'm all for diversity and inclusion on screen, but it has to be, like, the right way and authentic. And I think what I hope to do with you know, having people of LGBTI backgrounds on screen is just to normalize it.
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
there's just been a time where it was just, like, depressing coming out stories and blah, blah. And they served a purpose and they were totally necessary, but I think, like, it shouldn't be a thing that you blink your eyelids at.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day, like, why do people still have to have a coming out story? Right, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
I think it's slowly coming together.
Like,
you know,
you don't like, need to do, like, it's like, you can just be yourself. And, totally. You know, if they see, it's like, I don't know. I think that we should, I mean, they're great stories for, you know, helping other people that might come be scared out, to come out. But totally. I just think, like, if we want to normalize it, then, like,
just let them live
their life. Yeah, let them live their
life. You don't have to have this big out.
Exactly.
Here. Like in Charmed, like, you just find out in one scene she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
And you just kind of accept it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, she has a girlfriend. Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Exactly. Totally.
I think there's, like, their shows are slowly starting to do
to
that.
Like, yeah, I think so too. You're right, because The Charmed is a good example.
But
like
there
that.
Still are, you know, no, you we still were just talking about Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
That's another conversation.
Let's not ruin the movie. But anyway, I think the other day I saw an article, an actor came out and did this big article about, you know, coming out. And I was just thinking, I'm like, oh, why do people still have to have coming out stories?
Yeah,
you know, like,
I'm with you.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if it's for the period time, like if it's set in the 50s, then yeah, it makes sense. Like, you know.
Well,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
This was just a brand, like an article that came out.
Yeah.
That's why it was, it was a random thought in my head. I'm like, why do people still have to do that? But maybe one day it's like,
it'll just be normal. Maybe 50 years from now when none of us will be here.
No, I'm sorry. I got another 50 years in me. I'm sooner. Going till I'm 90.
Right?
There you go.
And so yeah, you talked about this earlier about being the recipient of the Heath Ledger Scholarship.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? What can you tell us?
Well, it's been a very busy time, and I've been doing a bunch of things about, you know, getting my team in order and that type of thing. So like basically, yeah, as soon as that happened, like everything changed, and I'm meeting lots of very amazing filmmakers, directors, execs, casting people, and you know, just still in the final stages of assembling my team. So I think from the signs of it, it seems like there's going to be amazing, incredible things coming up ahead. So,
oh, good.
But, you know, it's still a couple of weeks in, so the dust hasn't quite settled yet. So I'm like,
but still, that's good.
No, it's very exciting. It's very exciting.
So, do you have anything that you want to do? Like, do you have like a bucket list or like an order of things you want to do first? Like, do you want to get into like the writing and producing of your own thing? Or
I mean,
like
I think
Issa Rae route. Or,
totally. Yeah. I am definitely leaning towards people who more see me as like a holistic artist. I think that's definitely a path I'm going to take. I always want to be creating my own stuff. I feel like, as a person who's lived a very diverse life, I have incredible stories that I want to share with the world. I think I will always be writing in the background. And I think it's just about me finding the right people who see that and go, yes, we're going to put that on the forefront. So,
yeah.
Okay,
well, great.
Cool.
We like to transition to this, like our last portion of the interview, where we like to ask a lot of fun questions just to wrap it up in a nice way. We call it the facts, the FAQs. I always have to say that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, first question: would you rather sit all day or stand all day?
Whoa.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I think I'm thinking about this too deeply, but stand.
Really?
Okay. I think so.
Yeah.
I'm scared. No, my legs are going to get sore.
Right? Exactly.
Because, like, sitting all day, your back starts to hurt.
True. Well, like, one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
But when
yeah.
you're standing, too, that's why, that's like, which one you rather?
Because, like,
do?
When you're on a, like, when you're on a plane ride for, like, 15 hours.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You don't want to.
That's
you
true.
You don't want to.
Get bed sores.
You get bed sores.
Yeah. I hate standing for prolonged times. So.
Yeah, right. What's your limit?
This is why, you know, I don't have a limit, but I don't like going to clubs where I can't sit down or like events where like, there are no seats, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, you go to these events, they have, like, reserved seating for all the, like, the the important people, I guess, and the rest of you guys have to stand.
You're like, so, I'm not doing it.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing it. Yeah.
But I think I'm a very active person, so yeah, I'm standing.
No, I think I would rather stand all day. I mean, I was a host at a restaurant once, and I stood all day. At a Cracker
Barrel.
Is this
Stockholm Syndrome? Yeah. You're like, I just want to stand again.
So if you knew that you only had 1 year left to live, what would you do?
Everything.
Okay, everything.
Like,
everything.
I'd be standing, I would be sleeping, I would be doing everything.
You'd
like,
be standing all year.
All year, the whole time. That'd
That's
be like,
what
well,
you do. You'd stand.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, she really stood for something.
I know, right?
That was such a dad's joke.
No, that is a good dad joke,
I like that.
Couldn't help it.
So who was the last person you called a text, and what was it for?
Yeah. Or let's say text. I mean, how often do you use the phone?
That's do you know question. What a text is?
Yeah. Do you know how to make a phone call?
Like,
do you call people still? Like, old school?
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. Like, because that's a thing. Like, yeah. I feel like I do because I have to for kind of business
yeah,
a lot.
Okay,
but
yeah,
but like, you know,
like socially,
like your
socially
like,
is kind of
like,
intimate,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Like, do you call your friends or your siblings or your parents?
I do actually, and okay. I think it's because like I'm so time poor. Like, I try to make up for like not being in your life all the whole time. So I'm like, let's talk on the phone for 30 minutes, and they're like, I know what you're doing.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm a texter.
Text is like easy, yeah. But it's I so actually do call a lot though.
Yeah, I don't call.
I call my
parents once in a while when I need money.
right, exactly. And you do have like the same green, like, yeah. Hey, mom and dad, like,
hey,
really
what's
yeah. cheery.
On?
Yeah. No, my parents. I used to call my parents when I used to ask for money. You could never text. That was like one thing my mom was like, if you need money, do not text me.
All right.
Like, yeah, that's
like,
young law.
Then it was like an African thing. Yeah. It was
yeah. I feel like I've got that one too.
Yeah. So, but no, I get in trouble for not calling.
Does your dad talk? Like, my dad does not talk.
No, my dad doesn't talk.
It's like trying to pull teeth or something. He's like
sometimes he'll answer my mom's phone. And I'm like, oh, why did you answer? You're not going to talk to me.
You hate this. Why are you doing this?
He's like, oh, hey, big guy. He's like, oh, hey, big guy, what's going on? And then I start talking, and he goes, oh, here's mom. Yeah. Like, in the middle of
just halfway through your sentence.
Wait, does your dad say bye when he hangs up? That's another thing. My dad doesn't say bye when he hangs up. He just hangs up.
Yeah, what does my mom do? I'm trying to think. My dad passed away a while ago, but my mom, like, I don't know. I think she says bye like 5 times. Oh. And it's an ordeal. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Let's like, go live our lives and do things. Oh, okay. One more thing.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Okay. No, right. My mom does it too.
But you can answer the question.
Did I just get around that?
Yeah.
Such a politician.
Yeah.
You'll right. never know. What was it again?
Who did you call? Well, let's say, who did you text last, I guess? Are you going, do you care to share?
Oh, God, it's probably going to be so boring.
It's going to say, okay.
Yeah, I think it was me saying, like, okay, great, thanks. Like, oh, yeah. Or saying how cute someone's baby was.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Feels not salacious.
Right? Our last
no
question.
Scandal there.
Our last question we ask everyone: is there like an underrepresented voice in the industry, right? Whether it's an actor,
too
writer,
many.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Producer or creator that you're like you think deserves even more time in the spotlight that you're kind of following that you kind of want
yeah.
to just shine to.
Yeah. I mean, this dude's like just like starting to really tear it up. He's probably doing more stuff than me, so probably doesn't need the shout out. But one of my really great friends over here is Clark Moore, who's
okay.
an amazing actor who was in Love, Simon, and he just. He's awesome. You know the guy with the he's so amazing. So I just think he's such a talented performer, and he writes as well. He's a dear friend, so I always want to send him as much love as possible. But he's super talented, and he just came off Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and he's a rock star. So please go check him out, people.
Nice.
And love you, Clark. Hi, boo.
Well, cool. Well, Charmaine, thank you so much.
Thank you for being.
Oh my God, my
yeah,
pleasure. You guys are great.
Yeah,
you're
so
great
fun
too.
Yes, okay. Thank you so much, and that's
I wanted to say I'm like I'm turning into my mom. I'm like one more thing.
I'm like, oh,
do you know
bye.
What I mean?
One more thing. Oh, one
hi.
Person.
Are you guys
oh, yeah,
still
this
there?
Too.
bye. Did I say that already? Bye.